regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh rolls. Call me private label, I be leaving breadcrumbs.
All right, welcome to episode 149 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast. Got some cool announcements today, but we'll get into that in a minute. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, honey?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. And remember, PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion. So nobody out there gets offended. Hey, anybody in the chat right now, please go ahead, hit the thumbs up. Let them know we're live so they can start suppressing us as usual. We'll cover that in a minute. But as always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap. From twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA. P-E-R-M-A. They got the ball in this seeds out there. Better than any of the seed companies we've tried out there by many magnitudes. Also, we've taught you over and over and over again. A number of other channels have as well. Do all your dry goods. You can buy all that stuff still, even though rice is up, what, 10 bucks since I checked it maybe 4 months ago. I mean, literally 10 bucks. Believe it or not, I keep a tab on that sort of thing. And I'm talking like 50-pound bags at Sam's. Well, it's still a bargain if you ask me. So get all your dry goods squared away right now. Bear Independent did some really cool videos on his Patreon echoing the same exact method we use when we put away dry goods, but all the things you can't source yourself. Because look, I know better than anybody, just like all the rest of you out there, that money ain't growing on trees, especially when we got double-digit inflation right now, despite what the powers that shouldn't be tell you. So anyway, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off if you need anything over there. And if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. Remember, start with the Pimp Cast. You can listen to them all over there. And you can triple up the speed, and you can drop a derivation of Bitcoin called sats. SATs. So if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, go do it over there on the Fountain app. And yes, once again, permaculture is my passion because I know some folks are a little bit dubious about that name, but it's a way turning it into an acronym like that takes a very sour name and turns it into something a little bit more palatable. So once again, go ahead, hit that thumbs up, please. Thank you, everybody in the chats, and thank you for the kind words already. We'll maybe hit some of those after a while. Right off the bat, y'all, farm news, we'll jump right into it. So, man, I was on my bicycle today, and when I say bicycle, I mean truck. I had to do a lot of running around, and part of it I am going to cover. This is one of the most, I know I've said this before, but this is one of the most consequential shows. You definitely, look, you're going to want people to tune in to what I found out today. It's not one of those things where I'm trying to set it up, y'all. I've been talking about this stuff for months, and over the weeks, it's been in something of a crescendo, and we're going to cover that in the main topic, and it's basically turn those stupid things off. Don't worry, I'll cover it in a little bit, but when I finally got back, because it was a traffic jam on the way there, had to drop off a package, do some other stuff, and so it took way, way longer for me to get home, but when I did, I went back to weed eating, y'all. For all of you out there that are considering this lifestyle, please bear in mind that, and Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but believe it or not, I know when you see YouTube videos, you're seeing a video the videos we do are what we're doing that day. But there is an extraordinary amount of farm work that is very repetitive. I mean, am I wrong?
No, repetitive, monotonous, not good YouTube. Yeah,
but most people are not going to realize, you want to watch your cord there, honey. A lot of people are not going to realize they see this idyllic lifestyle. And believe me, I wouldn't change it for the world. I think it's fantastic. But it occurred to me today that I'm like, man, if people only knew how many days in a row you and I have been making extract, compost extract, that is, putting it out there, doing a little bit of seeding, and then chopping down this silver grass to create a succession of things we really, really, really want. So, but I mean, good night. If people knew, like I said, if you only knew, and I know a lot of you do, I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but there is an extraordinary, if you're not able to do repetitive tasks over and over and over again, then you want to reconsider this life, because once you do it, if you're like us, everything moves. Am I wrong?
Right.
So what does a morning look like?
I mean, every morning we move the animals. Like, it's just the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So same if you're, thing. Yeah, if you're not able to do that now, depending on where your mindset is, it may look like a monotonous task, or you can look at it the way I do, because I've said it over and over again in these videos and YouTube, you name it, that the most rewarding part of every single day is how I start it. When I see animals on new ground, y'all, I don't even have the words for it. It is just an inner peace I get. So you can either say, you can look at it as like, this is work moving these animals around, or you can say, good night. Because I'm doing this right, my soil is improving, the animals, their condition, everything about them is going to improve just by doing good management. So it may seem monotonous to most people out there, but it's really not. Now, I'm going to move into the next thing, and I'm just going to cover the big news. Well, the announcement, and I don't know how big a announcement it's going to be to a lot of people out there. Look, every single time we put out one of these podcast videos, every single time it gets demonetized, and they don't even give us the reasons why. In fact, the last two, we intentionally kept rather milquetoast just to see what would happen, just to see if there was, if they were going to bounce us off. Went back, listened to it. I mean, there's nothing I hate more than listening to my own voice. And yeah, so I guess that's not exactly encouragement to listen to this podcast, but everybody hates listening to their own voice. But I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what could it have been? It was this milquetoast intentionally for the last 2 weeks. So here's how it's going to go down. I'm going to see if there's some way we can't go live on Rumble and just not even do the YouTube thing when it comes to a podcast altogether. For those of you that want to see it live. Now, we'll keep the audio format. And Michelle, why don't you tell them what you said to me regarding the audio format and doing it in this format, because you feel like we're basically mincing our words. We're not saying what we really mean.
As far as being on YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, you have to, I have to be very careful what I say. Like, there was a certain topic I was talking about, and you just have to, I can't even say it now. I mean, I can't even like articulate what I was talking about, because it's going to get demonetized. Well, I mean, you just have to be careful of every little word that comes out of your mouth.
And it defeats the whole purpose why we even started a podcast, because the intention, now we were basically trying to see how far we could get before they caught it. Like, the t-shirt that I'm wearing right now, let me position myself in here. I can't even say the words or they will flag us, demonetize. And if somebody knows what this shirt stands for, and I know there's some people in the chats that do, feel free to put it in there.
But even, we didn't even say, like, you didn't wear a shirt last time. We didn't, I don't think we talked about it last time.
No, we asked a couple of people to put it in the chat if they were there. And it tells you how insidious things are in this platform. So we're going to see if we can't put the podcast over on Rumble, somehow give an announcement. We're going to see how that's going to work out. Rumble's a little bit squirrely. We'll see what we can do. Mike Adams, I know he has Brighteon. I'm not sure what, look, y'all, I'm not a tech guy. William was the tech guy. And thank you so much, Carlene, and everybody else out there. Yeah. How insidious is it that I can't even say what this is without them immediately demonetizing everything? So it's not the demonetization I'm worried about, because we don't get paid anything in this platform anyway. It's where it's going to lead. My friend TD from the Texas Boys, he just texted me recently. Danny from Deep South Homestead, they're busting these guys for videos that happened a while back. And so I'm like, okay, if we're in here mincing our words, then it defeats the whole purpose of free speech and being in a platform where we can actually say it. So we're going to basically use YouTube for the instructional means that it has been, entertainment at times. And when I'm able, I'll put interviews on here that I'm reasonably sure aren't going to get flagged, because I really, based on the main topic today, I'm going to have an expert in. And folks, this is information you're going to want to know. So I'm not going to leave it exclusively for the YouTube channel or the podcast. I'm going to put it everywhere I can. I'm going to shout this stuff from the rooftops because there's information out there, especially regarding some of these devices that you really, really, really need to know about. So another thing we're doing every single day, it takes me, you should take an accounting whenever you do any, of course, I got this recommendation from Joel Salatin from way back. No matter the task you do on your farm, you should always time yourself. And you got to be, I'm good at certain things, but she will tell you I'm the world's worst estimator. I don't care what it is. Material, I'm no good at it. Estimating time, I'm no good at it. There are certain things I have a gift for, but estimation ain't one of them. So what you want to do when it comes to every task you do is somehow, some way, calculate the time that it takes to do it. And then you got to ask yourself, okay, is the time that I have into moving these chickens that I intend to sell, is it worth it? Or these, let's say it's your meat birds, is it worth it? Very few homesteaders ever figure that part into it, your time for doing it, because it means something. And most of us say, well, we'd do it anyway, even if we weren't getting paid. But if you plan on making any kind of business out of this, you need to know what time it is. Forgive the pun. In making the extract, I know that it takes me an hour to get this whole thing set up and off and running. That takes time. Then it's got to brew. The way I'm doing it, I make it brew. I'm making this stuff super powerful. It's got to brew for at least 2 hours. Then when I take it out, then we go out there. Then we're looking at another 2 hours with Michelle helping me.
Yeah, at least.
At least, yeah, 2 hours. So it's little things like that that you got to ask yourself, is it worth the investment of time? No matter what it is on your homestead, you got to ask yourself those things. So that's a lot of, that's an awful lot of work. And so what I'm trying to point out here, what I really want to emphasize is maybe rid yourself of those tasks that don't necessarily pay out or you're not seeing the bang for the buck. Now, I'm not initially seeing the bang for the buck when it comes to improving the pastures, but to a certain extent I am, because I'm putting in an advance. It's like Paul Wheaton said, permaculture is an investment to your future self. Okay. And that's exactly what putting out this extract is doing. So it's time consuming. Weed eating is time consuming. I wanted to circle back and hit that one more time just to make sure. Just put it all in perspective for all the people, because I get so many letters. And sorry if I can't respond to all of them, y'all. It's just overwhelming. Believe me, I read them all. And I try to give at least some kind of response. But forgive me if it's not lengthy, because there are a lot to get through. And so I'm hearing so many people, like Joel Salatin wrote in his latest book, The Homesteading Tsunami, just have a realistic expectation of what it is you're wanting to do out there. And the number one problem is people doing too many things right out of the gates. You make that mistake, you're going to wish you didn't. Anything you'd like to add on that score?
Yeah, I would just, like, I've heard it recommended that you get one thing, get it down perfectly, and then add another thing, rather than adding chickens, growing all your vegetables, fruit tree. I mean, just do one thing at a time. And I think people, especially with animals, they start out with entirely too many all at once. Instead of just mastering like chickens and then moving on, they try to do too much all at once.
Yeah, that's like the number one. It's not only that, the number one thing for people starting out right now is, like Michelle said, you're looking at the signs of the times. You know this whole thing's falling apart. You go get out all the animals at the same time, and you're not good at any of it because you've never done any of it. And on top of it, the other big thing that is a massive thing that almost nobody ever talks about, and that is zoning. Putting things in the right place. Two ladies I'm aware of didn't want the garden where it should have been because they were afraid of snakes. And I'm like, okay, the snake, you think the snake's not going to get the memo in the place you don't want it? I mean, well, it's going to make them come in the house. I'm like, okay, I can't, I don't know what to say to that. Or there was a guy we knew, you know who I'm talking about too, had more degrees than a thermometer, but no common sense, took a chicken house and put it in zone 5. And was wondering why coyotes and wild dogs were out there killing everything. So also consider your zoning about all this stuff.
And don't put your garden like too far away from your house because you'll never go there. Yeah. I see so many people just driving around locally whose gardens are like just so far away from their house. And I just always wonder why did you put it that far away?
And you have a 9-to-5 job, especially for the people that have a day job. You want to somehow have a visual interaction with everything, not everything, but certain things every single day. So as you're walking, you want to basically get out of your car and walk through, if possible, the place, one of your growing mediums, so you can see problems and arrest them right on the spot. You want to force yourself to interact with this stuff. But zoning, y'all, I know there's so many people in this space, and zoning is one of the areas where people get, you know, shot in the foot. We'll cover more about that later. I know we've talked about it already because, frankly, not a whole lot of people are talking about it. So before we go into Pastor Lon, I want to obviously point it out. Somebody's going to say, hey, you didn't cover it. Well, look at the date, December 7th, a day that will live in infamy. Okay. Well, that was December 7th, and we know what year, and we know what happened. So we now know, I got to be careful how I say this. If you're a researcher, of course, they're going to call you a conspiracy theorist this day. You're going to say, oh, Japanese just woke up one day and said, I think America's got this a-coming. And they hit Pearl Harbor. Do the research for yourself. I could give you chapter and verse like all I have, like I have with all the other false flags out there. That was one of them. Yeah, very few people talk about it. But sure enough, with the benefit of hindsight, we now know that it was a false flag. Just like the sinking of the Lusitania that began World War I for at least America. It really didn't kick off right then and there. Okay, 99 years later, I'm going back in history a little bit. 99 years later, what happened? The English, or no, I can't remember who exactly released a manifest for the Lusitania that was supposed to be nothing more than a merchant ship, right? Then we find out, lo and behold, all these years later that the Germans sunk it for no reason whatsoever, that it had gun cotton, 308 rounds, artillery shells, and it was all marked cheese. Basically, they were put in hulls, and this thing was a warship. Got sunk to the bottom, murdered a whole lot of people. The Germans even said, hey, y'all keep doing this. We're going to sink this ship. And what happened? Okay, sinking of the Maine. Going all the way back, y'all. I'm saying this, and I'm trying to beat it in. Look, they're gonna demonetize this anyway, so I'll just as well say it. Look, every single thing in the 20th century, even before then, 19th century, for the most part, every single bit of it started with a lie, a manufactured lie. So I want you to look around. I'm saying December 7th, and the reason I'm pulling this up right now, and I'm just doing this extemporaneously, so please forgive me if I leave out a few details, because I can keep on going. Okay, so World War II, Vietnam, or Korea, which is really an extension of World War II, had to keep them dollars going to the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower called it. A little bit of smug, you know, farewell address, considering that he was one of the biggest reasons it became a military-industrial complex, but I digress. Vietnam, we now know what happened there. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, which later on Secretary McNamara openly admitted, you can find it right now on the internet, openly admitted that it didn't happen. It was a manufactured lie. Well, because of that manufactured lie, what is it, 58,000 Americans dead in Vietnam? How many millions dead in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, and they're still dying? We dropped all kinds of dioxins over there, Agent Orange, all the other things out there, and killing people to this day. Okay, first Gulf War. Should I keep going? Should I? Okay, first Gulf War. Babies being taken out of incubators and thrown on the floor. Remember that girl? Remember that? Yeah. Did you know she was the daughter of a Kuwaiti ambassador? Nobody ever told you that, did they? That same girl. And by the way, have you heard that story recycled again? Whenever you hear atrocities with babies, go right back to World War I. Actually, you can go back way further than that. They've been recycling the babies because it's the biggest atrocity ever. They've been recycling that thing since the 19th century. I can prove it. It ain't that hard. Just do babies on bayonets, World War I. The same exact thing you're hearing right now in the latest conflict is the same exact thing that they did all the way back then. So that was the first Gulf War. Okay, on and on and on. Same thing about Gaddafi. Don't get me started on Libya. Every single one of these things, false flag, manufactured lie all the way through. I'm bringing that up on December 7th today because it's important. Robert E. Lee, man, I'm going to kick myself because I can't remember exactly what battle. He said, "It is well that war is terrible, lest we should grow too fond of it." Yeah, well, one of my, if I could go back in time and meet five people, believe it or not, Robert E. Lee would be one of them for a whole variety of reasons. Maybe I'll tell you about that in another episode. "It is well that war is terrible, lest we should grow too fond of it." A general. Later on, another general. General Smedley Butler, one of only, I think, nine people to win the Congressional Medal of Honor twice, and would have been the only human being in history to win it a third time, but he turned it down. He wrote a book called War is a Racket. Yeah, go read that one. And he tells you who profits from all this stuff. So I said all that to say this, that the latest conflagrations that they've done over there in Ukraine. Yeah, I'll cover a little bit of that here in a minute after Pastor Lon. And then the latest one, which if I say that right now, they'll just drop everything. So I won't say it, but you know what it is. You see any of the stuff I just cited? And like I said, this is off the top of my melon. I wonder what I could do if I actually put in some work. And then, of course, I'm called a conspiracy theorist because I have the audacity to actually remember some of these facts. Facts that were later on declassified. All right, with that said, y'all, we're going to go ahead and move right into the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon, because we need to get some spiritual guidance.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I don't have a verse of scripture I'm going to share tonight, but I do have a quote I want to share with you. It's from Lester Roloff. It says, "You don't have to go to a crystal ball to get help. Just go to the Bible." What a true quote that is tonight, and I want to echo what he said. No matter what trials and tribulations we're going through, no matter what sickness we're dealing with in our lives today, physical, emotional, spiritual, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what valley we're walking through. God's word will encourage you. It doesn't matter what mountain we're trying to climb. God will strengthen you. So no matter what you're dealing with in life, what you're going through, go to God's word. There's so many people going to a crystal ball or a palm reader, or sitting on a psychiatrist's couch somewhere. And that's what's one thing that's got this country in a mess like it is today. People have turned their backs on God. They don't read their Bibles anymore. But if you go back to reading the Bible like the old folks did, he can set this place back in order. See, right now, we're so far left of center with our moral compass, we don't know which way is up as a nation. But I want to encourage you today, if we would get back to the basics of God's word and read it, and listen to it preached to us and apply it to our life, it'll help fix everything that's going on in our life today. And ultimately, if you follow it and apply it to your life and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, it'll lead you straight to heaven and you'll spend eternity with him forever.
That's what I'm talking about. Thanks so much, Pastor Lon. And y'all check him out, Homesteading Pastor on YouTube, provided we still got a channel, because I'm sure somebody in the YouTube world is terrific after that last little monologue of mine. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't do the extemporaneous thing while we're still on here right now, because honestly, y'all, it's been deeply frustrating to me for the last several months doing this live. I love doing it live. That's the problem. I absolutely love doing it live. The only thing that would make it better is to make a call-in show somehow, and we're going to look into how to make that happen as well. I'd love to be able to do that. And thanks so much for everybody in the chats out there. If you're just new getting in, please hit the thumbs up once again. Vicky, thank you so much for putting that in there. War is a Racket by Smedley Butler. There were some others. These comments are going by and I can barely see them. Hey, thanks everybody. Oh man, we got some smart folks out there. Elliot's talking about Mark Passio. Yeah, all this stuff is out there, y'all. And I remember being mocked one time when I was working at a VA hospital years ago. These ladies, these cackling hens, they asked me to prove some of what I was talking about. So I gave them play-by-play of all these things. And then they all looked at each other in disbelief. You're a conspiracy theorist. And then they all just cackle, making fun of me. And I said, yeah, I guess so. I guess you can't call me a coincidence theorist. And then, of course, the joke went right over their heads. Not a big deal. It's okay. I'll be mocked. And I'll debate anybody. I don't care what your classification is. I'll debate anybody on this stuff. I don't care who you are. If you think I'm wrong, debate me. And I'm off the floor. Well, let me know. Look, I'm about to get out of control. I'm about to get stupid here. Probably ought not to. Look, I need to go back to listen what Pastor Bob said. Maybe we need to rewind.
Let's play him again.
Yeah. Deep breath here. All right. So, yeah, I gave him every reason to demonetize us now. So, well,
yeah.
Before we had the bad news, good news section, now it's all good news. Yeah, I got a weird sense of humor on some of this stuff. But let me go ahead and cover some of it. Some of you might like some of this good news. Okay, first one is Zelensky admits Ukraine's counteroffensive has failed. Seems like, okay, I'm going to go conspiratorial again, honey. You tell me what you think. Okay, they tried to pull the old Ukraine thing. America's like, nah, I don't think so. And so now we're basically acquiescing, and then we're going to put our resources to where Vicky Savage in the chat just stated. And now all of a sudden, the United States of Amnesia forgot everything I just talked about. And they're like, oh, okay, that's a war I can get behind, even though the official story is as fake as a $3 bill. You're not going to tell me that this D-Day invasion happened, and then for 6 hours straight, nobody shows up. Are you kidding me? When you can ride across one side of that country to the other in under 30 minutes, the biggest quick reaction force on the planet, or not the biggest, but one of the most reactionary. And you're going to tell me this is all just one giant coincidence. So, look, y'all, they're going to keep lying to us. And you better wake up and smell the corruption, or you're going to fall asleep drinking the hemlock. That's just what it is. But anyway, yeah. So Zelensky, I mean, just look at this clown. I'll try to show him right there on screen. Honestly, look, y'all, I'm an adherent to the non-aggression principle. But I would gladly put him through a 5-minute flurry of fists. Just look at him. He has that kind of face. Michelle, do you think you could beat him up?
I'm pretty sure I could, yeah. I could try anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to just smack him across the face and tell him, look, you ain't ever going to be half the man your mama was. But, okay, yeah, I'm a lot. All right, well, I ain't even going to try to apologize. All right, second article. Study finds popular pesticide could be behind the rise of erectile dysfunction among young men. All right.
I'm sure that's just a coincidence, too. Just like Agent Orange, that they knew before they even used it. They knew exactly what would happen to the health effects, but they don't care. They use it anyway.
Well, you know, they're finding out that, you know, nobody is wanting to get married in places like Japan. And now we're seeing that same trend happen in America. It never occurred to me that maybe a bunch of young guys out there got limp noodles and because of what's been put in the food and all that stuff.
Yeah. You got to find the cause because there's so many of them. Like, what do you want to blame it on? Because there's a whole list of things that could be causing it.
Sorry, boys, your million men ain't marching, man. You need to get over there and start eating some. Well, okay. Well, maybe this next article might actually help because there might be a dietary component in that. First of all, don't eat the pesticides. I know that's easier said than done. Stay away from the fast food. I mean, you doubt me. We did this, I remember years ago, took a McDonald's Happy Meal minus a drink, stuck it up in a windowsill in one of the shops I was working at. Because, I mean, everybody talked about it. And it was like somebody shellacked this stuff. This thing in a week got as hard as woodpecker lips. And we're eating this stuff. So first of all, stay away from that. Okay, the other good news article. Research suggests nutrients from meat and dairy can help kill cancer cells. Okay. There's a lot of young people out there that are doing the whole vegan thing. Okay. Those are called masochists where I'm come from. And if you're in opposition to eating meat or anything like that because you're worried about killing animals, well, there's animals on your food. They're called microorganisms. You just got finished looking at a bunch of them under a microscope.
Yes,
today,
I did. Yes, I did today.
Were they life? Was that life in there?
Yep. Yep. Sure was. Quite a bit of it, too. Just in one small 1 millimeter soil sample.
Yeah. How about that? 1 gram, I think, is what you were looking at, right? And it's like a constellation of life when you look under that microscope. So all you vegans, you know what? Amoeba lives matter. So maybe you might want to consider some of this stuff. But anyway, this article goes on to say that when you're taking in animal protein, now I know this can be debated by a bunch of people, but for all you guys out there with these limp noodles, you might want to consider adding a little bit of protein in your diet, because it seems to not only help combat some of the stuff, you know, concerning cancers, and this stuff is in nature. It's only found in meat and dairy products. And man, I ain't even going to try to, it's basically a long chain fatty acid found in meat and dairy products, transvaccinic acid, or TVA. Okay. That's what they call it, TVA. So anyway, it's not only going to help with the limp noodle problem you got, but it's also probably going to bury you up against some of the, you know, some of the junk that we're eating out there. So at least that's what this article complaint or goes on to say. All right, y'all. So we're going to go into my man, Eric Sater, and I guarantee he is going to drop a tip of the day. Well worth your time.
Hey, Eric Sater here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, a permaculture transition. This will be a very general example of how to transition a conventional wasteful business into a beneficial permaculture business. Let's take your standard suburban laundromat in a strip mall. It will have four things in excess: wasted water, wasted heat, wasted space, and wasted time. The water can be directed to a garden and wildlife habitat. The heat can go to a greenhouse, all located in the wasted space of the unused parking lot. This can be a nice place for the customers to hang out instead of wasting time waiting for their clothes. Going further, we can add a cafe to use the food from the garden, giving the customers of the laundromat a place to have a tea, coffee, and a bite to eat. Going even further, we can add a food preservation center that can sell value-added surplus from the garden, freeze-dried survival meals from the cafe, host classes on permaculture, gardening, cooking, and food preservation. Members from the community can bring in their own surplus to process or get credit towards items in the shop. This is how we use permaculture thinking to transition one wasteful business into a community hub that supports resiliency and food security. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sater. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. As always, always dropping it like it is hot. So go check out my man, Eric Sider. Especially, man, he's got the ball in his t-shirts. I don't have one of his on today, but I'm usually wearing one of them. You got one of them on?
Yep. No, I don't. Never mind. It's another black t-shirt.
You had me worried. I'm seeing you strip off stuff. I'm like, man, this show just got, I guess this is our last day on YouTube. I was like, what just happened? Yeah. So making that transition, y'all, and he ain't talking about being a trans-testicle polar bear or anything along that line. It's making legit trend. That's the kind of transition I can get behind. You dig? All right. Before we get into the main topic, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. I'm a journeyman electrician. Been one IBEW trained for 25 years, and I've installed a lot of transient voltage surge suppressors over the years. A lot of them in car plants, a lot of them in tire plants, mostly industrial settings. And nobody even comes close to EMP Shield, not only in its capability, but the guarantee they put behind it. Remember, up until recently, I would have said EMP is probably one of the lowest concerns on your list, but it is a concern. Maybe not so much these days, considering what in the world we're doing right now. So that's legit. But honestly, the biggest concern when it comes to your house is going to be lightning protection. And they got an ironclad guarantee that nobody, like I said, no advertiser comes to us. I always go to them, because I'm a fan of their product. And so I hit them up and say, look, I tried your stuff out. Love your guarantee. Stand behind it. Give my folks a discount. So it's going to be $50 off with promo code PERMA. And like I said, if anything gets downstream of it on the house, 25 G's is what they're going to cover. So check out empshield.com, promo code PERMA. All right, y'all. So we're going to get into the main topic tonight. And man, I've been teasing this for weeks. Not with any intention of teasing it. Look, I've been doing a whole lot of biohacking as of late, and we've talked a lot about it lately. Whether it's, I mean, Michelle, you've been doing a lot of it along with me, right?
Right.
So what are the things we've been doing?
Grounding, deep breathing, trying to get morning sun at least like I think 15 minutes of morning sun. It's been a little difficult because it's been a little cloudy lately,
but it still works.
Right. Yeah. Right. But those are the top three things, I think.
Yeah. So I got with Eric Sider yesterday, man. I mean, me and this dude are simpatico, and he does a lot of this. He's offering a lot of suggestions, and we bounce stuff back and forth. And we've been doing a lot of rework on frequencies and finding out what these healing frequencies are. I kind of talked about it before. I'm going to lean into something, y'all. This is important. Just stay with me. So I'm going to try to go on memory here. So up until 1938, generally everybody in orchestras and everybody on the planet tuned their instruments to 444 hertz. Okay. Some people think that it was actually the frequency that King David tuned his harp to, you know, when he was sitting there working on Saul when he was tripping. So 440 hertz. There's other healing frequencies out there. There's a number of them out there. One's called the frequency of light. I think it's 528. Anyway, I made like this mixtape. It's not the greatest quality in the world, but it was the best that I had to work with. So what I did, and I've been looping this thing all day today. And what I did was basically took some music from they're not a sponsor or anything, but there's a company called Whole Tones. The guy that started it and came up with it, his name was Michael Terrell. And strangely enough, he died about a year ago in November, early November, as I recall. There's another guy that does a harp, and I can't remember his thing. But anyway, I went and bought one of the devices from Whole Tones where it puts out different songs. It loops for like 4 hours straight and has these different frequencies. Well, remember, in permaculture, we stack functions. So I was looking at the work of Dr. Lipton. Bruce Lipton, I think his name is. And some of it is basically, some people call it self-hypnosis. You can call it whatever you want. But basically putting positive messages on there and playing it back to yourself, particularly when you're going into a theta brainwave, which is about when you go to sleep, which is when your mind, I'll put it this way, up until you're age 7, you're in basically that theta brainwave state. That's why you're able to take in so much information. Well, the only time you get to it as an adult is when you're about to go to sleep or when you're right after you wake up. So his suggestion is play these positive messages before you go to sleep, and then you can kind of retrain yourself. Instead of thinking all this negative stuff, you can think positively. Well, what I did was just basically took that Whole Tones music and those great frequencies, and because we stack things, I said, well, why don't I just play the Psalms and play the music behind it? Then I could do two at once. I could listen to this when I'm going to bed, be listening to Psalm, have it start at Psalm 1 in these great frequencies. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I did that, sent it to you, sent it to Eric. It's not the best quality in the world, but hey, not bad for guys starting right out. Now I'm making a monologue of me doing the same thing. Okay, I said all that to say that we've been in this biohacking. So concerning frequencies, you got things that are good and you got things that are not so good. So for those that are listening to the audio right now, Carlene, thank you so much for pointing that out. 440 is what they retuned to after 1938, and I think it was under Joseph Goebbels. Basically got everybody to sign on. France wasn't having it. But then next thing you know, once everybody did sign on, strangely enough, World War II starts. Now, does one have anything to do with the other? I don't know. I mean, I doubt it, but maybe it could. Maybe it helped. I don't know. Maybe it encouraged it. But 440 is a very dissonant frequency. When you listen to it, all the rock bands, everything you hear on the radio is tuned to that. So I'm sitting out there today weed eating, and I'm listening to this, and I am absolutely chilled. And I'm like, man, I feel like $1 million. I'm not listening to podcasts. I'm listening to the word, and I'm also overlaying it with these healing frequencies. So back to the frequencies. Got two things in my hand right now. The audio people are not going to be able to see these. I'm going to stick them up close as I can. One is a frequency meter, and the other is a LF magnetic field meter, okay? Now, it's one thing for me to say that I've been doing all these biohacking things like turning off the Wi-Fi at night, and at that point, all I can say is largely anecdotal. I don't have any evidence, but I know and I can feel the effects because there has been a night or two where I forgot to turn it off, then I wake up with a headache. But I still can't call that science. I mean, I could say, yeah, it's anecdotal, and this is what I'm finding out. So I'm like, all right. For weeks now, I've been like, okay, I'm going to reach out to everybody that sells mitigation waves or mitigation things, whether it's for your cell phone, your Wi-Fi, whatever. And I'm going to tell them what I do. Tell them, hey, we got an audience. Hey, they want to be interested. But hey, here's the rub. I'm going to actually test this stuff out. And if it don't do what you say it does, I'm going to let everybody know about it. Only one person got back with me. Only one, y'all. There's people usually when they're usually falling over themselves to work as an advertiser for us. So I'm like, okay, well, if you're not willing to stand the scrutiny, then maybe your product ain't up to snuff. Well, there was one person that got on with me or got back with me. She got with me. She actually owns this company, this lady. And I'm going to get her on the show. And she sent me a variety of things to test. And I've been doing it. But what I'm holding in my hand right now, like I said, one is a frequency meter. The other is a magnetic field meter. So I'm like, all right, let me go ahead and take these things around. First of all, let me take my meter. Like I said, I'm a journeyman electrician with a lot of experience. Let me test all this stuff and see if it's working. Okay, so far, so good. A few more things I got to test, but kudos to her. And I'll tell you about this company because I'm going to try to get her on, but I want to make sure I don't want to tell the whole world what it is right now because I want to see if I can work out a discount for y'all. She sent me a lot of stuff in the mail. And I'm talking like grounding blankets, grounding sheets, grounding everything. She sent the entire gamut. Now, nobody else jumped on board, which says a little bit about these other companies. So I'm like, let me go out here. I got to go to town anyway. That's part of what took me so doggone long today. So I'm like, okay, let me go out and I'm going to test. First of all, I tested everything in the house and I'm going to make a YouTube video about this because it's that important the way I see it. But I got some shocking discoveries that I didn't expect. And so I go to town and so there's Wi-Fi towers. I mean, like 5G towers and stuff like that. Believe it or not, the one tower, you ain't even going to believe this, y'all. It's at the base. It's right next to a school. And it's in a cross. It's in the shape of a cross. And the top of the cross at this Christian school is a freaking Wi-Fi tower. Yeah, it's crazy. So I go beneath it, and I'm like, okay, well, it's high, but let me give you the standard range. Let's say if you were standing in a forest, or better still, if you're standing at my house and you're not near the Wi-Fi, anywhere between 60 to 100 millivolts per meter is considered about safe, okay? Now, you're going to find ranges all over the place. Some of the official stories will say one thing, but generally, that's the range, between 60 to 100. So I'm saying that to give you a base. Now, I'm just talking about the frequencies, okay? I could get all nerdy on you and talk about low frequency, high frequency, and all this other stuff. Now, 60 to 100. Right here at the house on the front porch, it's actually 6. So there's no transmissions going on around here unless it's provided by us. So surprisingly, I went at the base of this. This is the first 5G tower I've tried. So maybe you might be different other places. Anyway, it was about 500, which is high, but that's not shocking. Okay, let me tell you one of the other surprises. I go to Whole Foods. I had to go by there because they got these Tesla charging stations. And I'm like, okay, let me go test these out. So I hit them with a magnetic field meter. And then I check out the frequency as well. There's this lady pulling up. She's got she's got one of those Teslas. And she goes up to that charging station. I said, ma'am, look, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I got these meters. I want to test this stuff. You mind if I test your car? And I'm thinking she's going to tell me to go fly a kite. But, you know, being the color I am, she's thinking, okay, I'm going to demonstrate a little white guilt, and I'm going to let this guy drive away in my car if he wants to.
I forgot about that. You can do whatever you want, Nashville.
Yeah, she was ready to hand me the keys. So I'm like, okay, let me go try this Tesla. Because there's nothing but a bunch of batteries and stuff in there. Let's see what kind of... Look, y'all, I got up to the door of this Tesla, and that thing was kicking off. It wasn't even driving down the road. It was sitting there charging, and I didn't actually get in the car, even though she said I could. She didn't know me from Shinola. I stuck that thing in there, and it was pegging up to about 1,000. Yeah, and that's without the car even moving. That was with the... I mean, I'm standing... She's got the door open to the passenger side. I'm standing there. Remember, the acceptable range is generally between 60 to 100 millivolts per meter. This thing is reading 1,000. Okay? Still not bad. All right, so I go and try a I'm going all over. I'm going under power lines. And believe it or not, the 4160 volt transmission lines, unless you were standing directly underneath it, it was pretty doggone safe. And I'm doing that with the magnetometer and, I mean, the magnetic field meter, all that stuff. Because there's this thing, the lady got her PhD years ago on this thing called extremely low frequency radiation, where basically people that live under power lines generally had a high incidence of cancer. She got her PhD on the subject. And this is years ago that I read that. And so that got me interested in even checking this stuff out. But believe it or not, under these this medium range voltage really wasn't that bad unless you were literally right underneath it. And yeah, it pegged it up a little bit. But really, how much time do you spend directly underneath it? But either I literally had the meter in my hand like this. And for those that can't see, I'm holding it vertical, standing directly under the line. I literally moved 5 feet to one side or 5 feet to the other, and it was perfectly safe. I kid you not. Yeah, there's things called the right-hand rule, and there's all these other electrical phenomenons that I'm not even going to geek out on. I'm just going to give you the results. And I'm going somewhere with all this. So, power lines. I go to a substation, and unless you're right up on that substation, it really wasn't that bad. So the Tesla was high. Yeah, no doubt. But let's talk about the things. Okay, so you got 5G tower at the base of these schools. I'm going to go check other schools in time. These are videos that I'm obviously, it's going to be way too much information to put in one video. So I'm get back to the house and I'm like, all right, let me go ahead and test all the stuff in here. First of all, I need a control. So I go outside away from everything. And like I said, the frequency rate. Hang on, before I even get into that, if I'm just through the nature of town, it was somewhere around 500 to 700 millivolts per meter, okay? And that's all bad. It's not considered great. Remember, 60 to 100 is okay, depending on the source. So generally, all through Asheville was basically, you know, somewhere within that range. It wasn't wonderful. So I get back to the house. I'm like, okay, let me go on the back porch. I get out there, and I'm just, oh, yeah, good job, Billy. You're, man, you're clean as a whistle out here. And yeah, if you go to antennasearch.com, you can find out where all the antennas are around you. Well, there are none near us. And if we didn't have fiber optics going to this place, we couldn't do this podcast. I mean, we wouldn't have a signal.
We had to drive
to town to upload video.
Yeah. We walk out down the driveway and yeah, we've got nothing.
Yeah. So there is absolutely nothing floating out here in terms of signals. Anyway, we have, I go back to the house and I'm like, okay, we got absolutely nothing out here. Y'all, I walked in the house and I looked at that meter and it knocked my junk into my watch pocket. I'm sitting here looking at this thing and this thing is pegging off the charts. And I'm talking like, remember 60 to 100. And I'm getting somewhere between, depending on where I was, because this thing will jump all over the place, anywhere between 12,000 to 20,000 millivolts per meter. That is astonishing. So I'm like, okay, let's find out where it's coming from. Obviously, the number one culprit is going to be your Wi-Fi. Get over there. Yeah, that's it. So I turn it off. Now I'm checking all the other devices. Folks, I don't even know how to say this and give it the gravity it deserves. I went through and I took this meter. I put it up here. Maybe you can see it a little bit better. I took this meter and I checked each individual device. Your cell phone is putting off. If I stick this thing directly in contact with your cell phone, it's anywhere between 60 and 100 is considered safe. It is somewhere, this thing at times is kicking up to 17,000 millivolts per meter. 17,000. Go to my iPad, same thing, same phenomenon. My niece, I'm trying to get it into her head because I see her with those ear pods. I'm like, okay, well, let me test those. She's about ready to get out and go do her thing. And I said, hey, honey, come out here on the porch. I want to show you something. I have her hold the meter and I'm saying, okay, we're outside. Okay, and I explained to her everything I'm telling you right now. I have her walk up to it with it. I'm holding her phone, and as I get closer, this thing is pegging off, and I'm telling her what the safe limits are between 60 to 100. I get that thing up to there, and it's somewhere around 17,000, I think it pegged out. And I said, all right, so you see the danger of your phone, okay? Now, we're putting these things right plumb up to our heads. But then I said, okay, I see all these kids walking around with these, what do you call them, earphones, AirPods?
AirPods.
Whatever they are. I see everybody walking around with them. I'd gotten all over William about him wearing them, and then he stopped wearing them for a while. And then everywhere I go, I said, you know what? I've heard people talk about this. Let me check them. Folks, this is gonna floor you. Those AirPods, whatever they are, I had to move the phone away. We're outside in a pristine environment outside, and I kid you not, they were in the case that they're in, and they pegged that thing out even higher than the cell phone.
Because the case is, like, the case, you can charge them through the case. So
it wasn't being charged. It was just in the ear things are in the case.
But what I'm saying is they have the capacity to do something. So I don't.
Well, she took him out of the case, and it was still knocking that thing, and we had it right off. What I'm talking, y'all, this thing was 20,000 millivolts per meter. Remember, 60 to 100 is safe, and people are wearing these things in the doggone ears.
And it creates, what I heard when they first came out, was it creates a loop from, like, and I think William would wear, like, one in his ear, at like, he wouldn't wear the other one in, and I think that was his rationale, was when you wear two of them, it creates this loop. And I don't know the science behind it, but there's a danger in that also.
Well, I can tell you this much. I'll have to check them individually and check it out, y'all. But I was floored when I'm sitting here. Okay, so I turn on the microwave. This might blow your mind. So I stick these things, I'm checking everything. Now, granted, if it has, believe it or not, the thing that in the house that put off the biggest magnetic anomaly was, believe it or not, the blower on the wood stove, which is, it's an induction motor. That's not unusual. I'm expecting that because it's running on AC current. Anything like your heat pump for your house, anything like that, obviously is going to have some sort of magnetism. Believe it or not, the smart meter on the house that we can't get rid of, that barely registered compared to everything else. Everybody goes on about the smart meters and how dangerous they are, and they probably are. I'll do a longer and more, a deeper test on it. But honestly, that thing was like 200. So the smart meter ain't even in the ballpark. It's not even in the ballpark.
Think about some of these people who have smart refrigerators, smart washer and dryer, smart everything. Like how much they have going on in there with all these different smart devices.
Yeah, well, I went over there, did this. It's funny you mentioned that, because as I go on, folks, I'm not trying to drag this out, but I don't know how to condense this. So I fire up the microwave and I said, okay, surely this thing's going to be blowing up. The magnetic field, believe it or not, it was only dangerous within a foot. And then I checked it for frequency and I'm like, okay, 3 feet. Well, unless you're, I mean, like right up on the mic, believe it or not, the microwave where everybody complains and says this is, believe me, it barely even registered compared to everything else. iPads, like you said, these smart appliances, because they're all talking to one another. You get in there, look, we don't have any smart appliances, except maybe we have a newer washer and dryer.
No, I don't think it is. I'm
going to test it specifically. I'm going to isolate everything and test them individually and find out where all this stuff is coming from. Believe it or not, I was thinking, okay, man, I can't figure out where some of this stuff is coming from. Believe it or not, folks, this is going to sound conspiratorial. I'm only going to give you, I'm not ready to go to bat on this one, but believe it or not, remember they were pushing the compact fluorescent light bulbs? Guess where I was getting signals? Because we got a couple of them in here. The LEDs, I didn't have a problem with. They didn't register so far. I didn't do any extensive testing on that. But those compact fluorescents, huh? Is that why we got rid of incandescent light bulbs? Is that what's really going on? Because, well, that's a story for another day. But like I'm saying, even the light bulbs, try to find the incandescent bulbs right now and see what happens. You got to go to an old hardware store to even find them. In fact, I'm going to stock up on some. So the biggest culprits, believe it or not, the Wi-Fi router is not, it was 300 to 400, the phone by far, and those earbuds were by far the worst culprits by many magnitudes. Now, I'm going to talk about real quick some mitigation strategies. Somebody wrote air fryer. I'm sure we got others in there.
Somebody wrote the Apple Watch too.
Oh yeah. I don't have one of those. I'd love to test that as well. In fact, my barber, man, it's going to freak her out. I'll roll up in there with one of these. In fact, I know she has one. So I'm going to ask her to next time I go in there.
Kendra's got one too.
Okay. Well, I guess my niece has one. So I'll see what her Apple Watch does. But she was so freaked out after seeing these earbuds. I was like, hey, you think you might want to get a corded pair of these? So here's what I did. I'm working on mitigation strategies, and I got some of them worked out. Just can't tell you all of them right now. Now, there's people on the market selling you. Well, let me just tell you an easy one right off. And I talked briefly about it last week. Okay, but it's when it comes to your phone, okay? You put it in airplane mode. I can literally show you. I would do it right now, but we got too many electronics in this room to be able to show you right now. So I'm not even sure how I'm going to be able to film this stuff, to be honest with you. Here's the deal. If you put it in airplane mode, it doesn't happen immediately, but somewhere between 10 to 20 seconds, it actually makes that shift. It must slow down, and then it gets to the point where it's not putting off anything. But this thing also has a feature on it, like a max average. Every once in a while, even on airplane mode, this thing will shoot out something. It's some kind of, so if you're wanting to hide your whereabouts or whatever, you think you put it on airplane mode, I got news for you, nephew. It ain't happening. This thing is shooting off, even in airplane mode. Now, it's nowhere near in airplane mode. When it's actually in airplane mode, it's really dead. I mean, in terms of signals, there's nothing coming off of it. But every once in a while, and I haven't figured out what that frequency is, it'll shoot this thing out. And I'm thinking it's some transponder or whatever. It's shooting out something every so often. Sorry about the noise, y'all. I have no idea what just happened in the background. So anyway, the only real way to mitigate this, and here's one of the strategies I've been doing. Go in, download whatever it is I want, put it on airplane mode, and then go out. Now, as far as mitigation strategies, there's people out there that are selling these Faraday bags. One of them is right here. Had it for a while. Some of y'all might even recognize the name. Pure Garbage. Yeah. And it's kind of an embarrassment. It says InfoWars on it. Bought one of theirs. Absolute complete junk. You take any phone, stick it in that thing, and you're still getting phone calls. That's how you know it doesn't work, okay? If you can get phone calls through it, it ain't working. This one I got from the one lady who reached out to me, and her company's called Redemption Shield. So like I said, bear with me, and we'll see if we can't get y'all a discount on that stuff. I put the phone in here, Michelle. I had you call me.
Right.
And the call didn't go through. I even hit it with the meter. It was and this thing was like on. I didn't put it on any kind of airplane. I stuck it in there, killed the signal completely. Dead right there in that bag. So the easier way is going to be, I mean, if you don't have a Faraday bag and if you can't afford one, I'm sure there's some DIY ways to do that. And I'll let you know what those are. I've been working on a lot of that sort of thing over on Patreon. So I'm going to find, look, I can give you DIY stuff. It's going to take some time. But if you're needing something right off the bat, I'm going to work on that. They even got stuff out there that will shield your router, okay? And it blocks a lot of the harmful stuff, but you're still able to do it. Now, it's still going to be harmful. It's like smoking cigarettes with and without a filter, okay? So the filter may be a little bit better for you. That's kind of what's happening with the router. At night, you need to be turning this thing off. In a nutshell, get those stupid things out of your ears and put on some doggone cords. And I think I'm going to do a video and hopefully I can spell this out in a way that makes sense. These things are Kentucky frying everybody right now. And for those of you out there, I mean, there's people out there like Dr. Carrie Maddie, Karen Kingston, A number of intrepid women have done a lot of research on that thing that they were shooting in a lot of people as of late and how it interacts with a lot of these signals. Something to think about. Do I have definite proof on that? No, I don't know. But what I do know, look, mitigation strategy. Get yourself a legit Faraday bag. And like I said, I'm going to get her on the show, see if we can't get y'all a deal if you want one. You get enough copper sheeting, I'm sure you could do it that way. Put it in the microwave at night. Yeah, your microwave is a freaking Faraday cage. It really is. If it's a decent microwave, it should be anyway. Put your phone on airplane mode. Turn off your Wi-Fi router at night. Ground yourself. We're going to be covering a lot of this stuff, and you might be saying, well, what's that got to do with permaculture? Everything. It's earth care, people care, and abundance given to the previous two. People care goes right back to the ways in which you can mitigate some of the harmful stuff. How many people are out there right now suffering from ailments that could easily be eliminated just by grounding, just by deep breathing, just by eliminating some of this stuff? You know, a lot of us are using our cell phones as alarm clocks. You can still do that in a Faraday bag. You can still do that. Okay? There's a lot of other mitigating. Look, we're going to cover more and more of this out there. I wanted to do this show to let you know what I found. This isn't, look, I can tell you all day long, look, I've been turning off the Wi-Fi router and I feel like $1 million. Or I can actually give you real deal empirical data that shows it. And I'm going to try to get that video out tomorrow. I'm not sure that it will. I'm trying to do some justice and show you. Maybe the first thing I'll do is just show you around the house where the hot spots are. Filming, it's going to be tough because we use our phones, and if I get the phone next to the thing, it's only going to set it off.
Maybe we can actually use the camera to film.
We got a camera, so yeah, maybe we can actually use it, unless that thing's Kentucky frying everybody too. So y'all look, not long and short of it is, like I said, depending on what source, anywhere between 60 to 100 millivolts per meter, and I'm getting things. Man, I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
But the earbuds, what
20,000?
But what is astonishing to me is you have these people that have the combination of everything. You have people who have the air, whatever they're called, the earbuds, the wireless ones, and their phone, and the Apple Watch, and they're in a house that has everything. Your washer and dryer, your refrigerator, your TV. I mean,
oh, that's another thing too. I didn't talk about
like all of it, yeah. All of it combined.
Yeah.
Day after day.
Yep. Guess what else is going to get a switch on it? Even though we don't put on the TV much, you'd be shocked at what's coming out of it, even when it's off. Yeah. Even when it is technically off, it's not off. Something's going on in there because it's kicking off some serious. Like I said, I'm going to try to go into great detail on a lot of this stuff. If you're thinking, okay, I don't have the TV on. Well, doesn't mean that it's not programmed. I mean, that it's not a smart. Can't buy a TV that ain't, quote, smart anyway these days. So you may have to put a switch in there and unplug this thing from the wall. There's a whole lot of things that's about to get turned off around this place. To a certain extent, I know we all have to interact with it to a certain degree. But there are strategies, and I'm going to cover this more and more and more on how to discharge the electrons out of your body by grounding, whether it's a DIY thing or whether it's something you buy off the shelf. There are some legit stuff. So if you got to be around some of this stuff, and I know a lot of you have jobs where you do, we're going to show you some strategies on how to get around it, because this is one of those insidious things that nobody wants to talk about. And for the most part, the powers that shouldn't be in the prostitute media want to pretend that it's not even happening. All right, y'all, hopefully that was a blessing to you. We're going to go on to my man, Chef Keith Snow.
It's Chef Keith Snow with your PimpCast tip of the day. This time, avoiding seed oil and making your own mayonnaise. I have found that I don't get along well with seed oils. They are highly inflammatory and produce some terrible eczema-looking patches on my face and elbow and chin if I consume it. And it only takes a tiny bit to give me problems. If you see people out in the world who are unfortunately obese, oftentimes you will notice they have bad skin, like acne and red splotches on their face. Likely, this comes from consuming toxic seed oils that lurk in packaged and fast foods. I struggled for years thinking gluten was my problem, but it was the seed oil all along. This stuff is in everything. For example, peanut butter, cakes, cookies, crackers, ice cream, sauces, dressing, etc. This is why I cook the vast majority of the food that we eat, and I make most of my own condiments. Here's how you can skip the Duke's or Hellman's and make your own. In a wide mouth 16-ounce canning jar, add one farm fresh egg, 1.5 teaspoons of kosher salt or sea salt, 2 tablespoons of plain old white vinegar, and 1.25 cups of light olive oil. Use a reputable brand, not a cheap store brand, because oftentimes those can be adulterated with seed oil. Then take an immersion blender and put it all the way to the bottom of the jar and turn it on and slowly move it up until you create a mayonnaise. It's not very hard, and with just a little bit of movement of the immersion blender, you'll have a very stable emulsified mayonnaise that's seed oil free. Put a lid on it and pop it in the fridge and you're good to go. Actually, I just made some a few minutes ago and I'll use it later today. Do check out my spices over at harvesteating.com. There is 4 varieties available to ship. Also, we have brown duck coffee in stock. And I hope you all enjoyed this tip and have a great day. Take care.
Man, that's what I'm talking about. The first of all, his brown duck coffee, we got it down there. Excellent, excellent coffee. Believe me, he shows his bona fides when it comes to the chef department, because spices are on point. She's been using them. You bought some a little while back. Also, yep. The coffee. So, yeah, check out Harvest Eating. Plus, man, he's showing you how to do some pretty cool stuff over there. I need to go check out more of it myself. I'm just, like everybody else, going at 100 miles an hour. But he can have you take that rice and beans and transform it into something worthwhile. Plus, he's got a really awesome website. So, yeah, check out Chef Keith Snow. Hey, as a little side note, I was making mayonnaise. Man, that is the coolest way in the world, the way he's doing that, where you emulsify it right there in the jar. I never even thought of doing that with an immersion blender, because we make mayonnaise, or at least I used to.
Sometimes we do.
Yeah, and mayonnaise ain't white. Yeah, am I right. wrong?
Nope.
Real mayonnaise ain't white. It's yellow. So at least any mayonnaise I ever made, and you can't even compare it with that stuff from the store, y'all. Man, don't get me going on mayonnaise. Anyway, this segment of the show coming up right now is from the TexasBoys.com. Go check them out over there, y'all. They got the ballinest food forest in a box kit. Got one down there. I was talking about it the other day on Patreon, how their stuff is popping up. I got some of it in the house growing. Some of them I grew outside. And, yeah, we got that stuff. It's growing right now in the house. So, yeah, TexasBoys.com. Also, they got honey. They got a lot of cool stuff over there. And plus, they're probably the most suppressed YouTube channel that I know of. The only guys I've ever seen that are at 99,900 and then get busted back to 98, and then they'll get all the way up. It's like, you know, somebody is straight up screwing with them over at YouTube. And we're probably going to be in the same place after this program, because we hit all of the sacred cows we ain't supposed to talk about all in one show. So, yeah, go check out Chef Keith Snow, harvesteating.com, and check out the TexasBoys.com. Promo code PERMA gets you 5% off. So go check them out. You'll be glad you did. All right, so into the Q&A, and then thanks, everybody out there. Hopefully that segment was a blessing to you. Man, I'm really working on this biohacking stuff, especially the things that don't cost a lot of money, things you can do for free. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there where you can pay $100,000 for a bed that does what natural sunlight will do. You can get these mats. Yeah, the mat's pretty handy when it's freezing outside, unless you want to go stick those toes on some cold ground. Yeah, those mats are handy. You can probably make some of this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out there. So, yeah, we're going to get you some more answers. So we'll go straight into the Q&A. Right off the bat, we got Harold. Yeah, so check this out. He's right there in New York City, Westchester County, New York. And he said, landlord has nice pots everywhere, little pine trees when we moved in. Totally abandoned, left to die. This fall, I made it my project to commandeer every pot I could. I got onions, potatoes, parsley, cilantro, and several bucket of wildflowers. Man, that's what I'm talking about, bro. That's exactly what I'm talking about, y'all. And then he shows me a picture of where he lives. Very beautiful place, by the way. But it is so cool how he was able to commandeer that, man. Kudos to you. Wish I had something to give you, man. But when I hear stories like that, it makes me so proud. And yeah, he sent me another video too that I can't really get into. But yeah, thanks so much, man. That made my day to see it. What do you got, Michelle?
Oh, question from the chat. Do you prefer grounding on certain surfaces such as compost, grass, or clover?
Okay. So went out there, I tested all that with a meter too. Hopefully I can get that in a video. This is going to blow your mind a little bit. So here's how you know whether or not your grounding is working. Okay. You got to have a multimeter with, it's best if it has a setting that's, that goes into millivolts, like usually 20 is the setting. I'll try to go into greater detail. It's going to be tough for me to make a whole video on this, but basically take one end of that probe, stick it in the ground and touch the other end of that probe. And for a human body, you should be reading anywhere. Now, if it's on regular ground, you're going to read somewhere when you touch that ground, it should discharge. You should go from, let's say 3 millivolts down to pretty close to zero. Okay. So if your mat, if you want to make sure the mat is working, that's how you test it. Well, when you're outside, whether it's on grass or dirt, it's still, you're going to register holding one end of that probe and the other end to the ground. You're going to notice before you ground yourself to ground, and I'll show you how to do it, you're going to notice that 0.3. But if you have a ground rod all the way, way down like 8 feet into the ground, you're going to find out that difference of potential is 0.9. So it's not 3, so it's a greater difference of potential. So it's telling me that it's a better ground. So if you're going back to a ground rod, it is a much better ground than even touching out. Either one is going to be great for you. But if you can center yourself onto something that's hitting the ground rod, like the ground in your house, there's a little bit of induction you'll have to deal with, but it's negligible from what I'm finding out. It's not as dangerous as some people like to say out there, especially in a house. Now, in an industrial commercial setting, you're going to be dealing with what we call dirty power, and that's, I'm not going to get in the weeds and all that. But anyway, it really doesn't matter outside. So a long answer to your short question was, do these different mediums matter? No, it really doesn't. It's going to discharge all the same. I know because I've tested them.
What about concrete?
Concrete, you're going to discharge about the same way. It's still going to be the same way. It, generally, I try to avoid bare feet on concrete because of all the other stuff that's in it or on it. They treat concrete. I would avoid it. I mean, if that's your best guess, if that's the only way you can go, yeah, I mean, I would go with it. But yeah, it's generally going to be 0.3, anywhere between 0.5 to 0.3, but you'll find out it is a greater difference of potential voltage if you have a ground rod in the ground. So instead of 0.3, if you go to something with a ground rod, it could be up to 0.9 or 10 millivolts. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense right now, but I'll try to make sense of it in some of the subsequent videos that I do. All right, so we got another one from Kim here. In a nutshell, thank you for the kind words, man. We get so many wonderful emails, and I just want to, in a nutshell, she's asking if she can stop by. Look, y'all, right now it's an impossibility for us. You know, we're empty nesters now, and we got still the same workload, a lot of things outside that need to get done before winter really, really, really sets in. And we just can't entertain anybody right now. And also there are the security concerns that we also have. So the answer is, I'm afraid we can't have any visitors right now. Maybe we can pull something in the spring, but right now it's just not a possibility. Got way too many irons in the fire, but I thank you so much for offering, but right now we can't do it. So thank you so much. What else you got?
How do you feel about growing grass on a tray indoors and trying to ground that way?
I like where you're going with that, and you could absolutely do it. You could absolutely do it, but you're going to have to ground the medium that it's in. So let's say it's a pot, man, you have no idea because I'm working on a project. I'm not trying to be over dramatic here, but it's a top secret project with Joel Salatin. You were there when I talked to him about it. So it's basically a top secret project with Joel Salatin that kind of leans on something like that. And I'm doing all the R&D right now when I'm able. So you're kind of hitting on what that is. So if you were to bring that soil in the house, first of all, you want to make sure it's soil. You want to make sure it's good soil. And if you got it sitting in a pot, unless that pot is made out of some earthen thing, like let's say clay pots or something like that, and unless that clay pot is touching, we have so many fake things in our house, unless it's touching straight up wood, like a real, real hard wood or something like that, you're not really getting the resonance there. So you would have to ground that pot somehow to the outside anyway. It could be done, or you'd have to ground that soil. That's some testing. I'll see if I can't look into that and find out for you, because that's actually a quite easy test I could do, but you may have a really good solution there. That's really thinking outside the box. Really good question.
There was another question. A lady has some mushroom spawn and she wants to put it around the wood chips around her trees and also in the compost, in her compost pile. And she was wondering what, if that was a good idea.
Yeah. In your compost pile, especially depending, I mean, you want to make sure it's a good mushroom. I mean, you want to be sure what you got there, you know? That is a great way. If you, one of the methods we've taught, Michelle and I have actually done videos on it. Don't know if it was on Patreon or on YouTube, but one of the places we would go to get mycelial, what am I trying to say? Not spawn, but...
It was like spent spawn from mushrooms that they had grown for the farmer's market. So it was just like the leftovers.
No, I'm talking about when we went up in the woods. What?
Oh.
It looks like veins. The word's escaping me right now.
It's just the mycelium.
Yeah, so anyway, we would grab some. There's another name for it, but we're both losing it right now. If you take that and put it in your compost pile, that's a way. Make sure you get it from a healthy food, healthy forest. It's better if you look at it under a microscope, but the general rule of thumb is if you can pick it up with a pair of tweezers and it holds on to everything, chances are it's probably a really good fungus. So we've picked up, we look under leaves, we look under wood, everything you can find in a good, healthy forest, take it back, put it in your compost pile, because you want that in there anyway, and the closer to your house, the better. Yeah, really good strategy. Excellent strategy. All right, so Joseph says, yeah, basically he's saying, try to send an email a while back and it bounced back. We get that a lot. Thank you both of all for your videos and podcasts. Both of you are not alone in your pursuit of truth. Thank you for your shipment to comfrey. I did jump the gun and bought some new pots and planted. Okay, let me get down to the thing. Now my question or advice from both of you is, our land has horrible drainage and it ponds in portions. I was thinking of building raised beds, wondering which I should do. Okay, you're not going to like the answer, but thank you so much for reaching out, Joseph or Joe. It all depends. A lot of these are questions that are impossible to answer without actually looking at it. Now, you can reach out to Eric Sider and go to Eric Sider and check him out, because he can do a lot of this stuff remotely. I can't honestly and ethically give you any advice without having seen it. I know nobody wants to hear that, but you're going to hear permaculture designers say all the time, it depends. And it's because it does depend on so many things. So I can't really tell you with any great degree of specificity. So yeah, reach out to Eric Sider. He might get you hooked up on some of that.
Okay. Another question. This lady has a food forest and she said it looks messy. How can she make it look cleaner?
Depends on your food forest. There ain't no making it look cleaner. In most cases, you can situate it in lines and rows, but part of it being a food forest is the fact that it does. You don't see lines and rows. This is one of the hard things that a lot of people have a hard time getting over with when it comes to making that transition from our reductionistic Western worldview. I'm a victim of it just like everybody else. Like I said, I've been a journeyman electrician for a long, long time. Well, I would have said this before, but everything we put up generally is plumb or level, okay? Or a combination of both. Never put up things that aren't plumb or level. Now, there's some ratty dudes out there to put up anything. I ain't one of them. In our reductionistic Western culture, that's a hard thing to get over. So you can do that in a food forest setting because to a certain extent, we got lines and rows there, but it might work out better for you to have it look haphazard. And also part of what I'm going to cover in my next book, which is going to be called Tactical Permaculture, this is going to be a magnum opus for me to write this. But part of it from a tactical standpoint is that it isn't in lines and rows. Your eye generally, when you look at a forest out there, you're never going to see lines. You're never going to see rows. Being haphazard might be a very great tactical benefit for you. So I wouldn't dismiss it. You may want to embrace the suck, as they say. I hate cliches, but that's one you might want to think about, because if you're wanting to keep this in a tactical setting, it helps that it isn't, that it does look messy. You can organize it a little bit. Ours is still organized, but it's getting to that point where it's going to be tactical disorder, which is exactly what I want. Am I wrong? Is there anything you would add?
No, it's, I would say if you, if you're highly concerned about it, like your design, but if you're past the point and you've already planted stuff, it like, it bothers me. I like the orchard, aesthetic, but, Food Forest has a, serves a different function, and it is what it is. You just have to appreciate the wildness of it, I guess.
Yeah, that's part of what I'm having a problem with, is that I love to prune. It may be a pain to some people, but it ain't for me. I love to prune. I love to be in on it, so to speak. And in my Food Forest, I'm having to force myself to not prune. Y'all, that is like an addiction and a half for somebody like me, because I love to do it. But unless it's a real problem child, unless it's a branch growing, you know, in a place where it's going to slap into a vehicle, or if it's in one of the lanes or lines, if it's a troublesome thing, yeah, I'll get rid of it. But by and large, I'm not pruning any of these trees. But that's part of the beauty of a food forest. It's giving off more energy than what it requires of you. Okay. So that is one of the awesome virtues of a food forest. Thing is, I don't mind pruning. I don't mind some of the maintenance. I literally love the work. If you would have told me, I would have absolutely, when on this journey, when it started years ago, if you'd have told me that I would have been so in love with orcharding, I would not have believed you. But that's, I mean, there's so many, there's not one part of this. Believe me, the annuals are the things I find least interesting. Perennial systems are what I love. And particularly tree systems, fungal systems, highly fungal systems. That's where I really shine. That's really what I love most. Now, I'm conversational in a lot of this stuff, but she's going to blow me away any day of the week when it comes to annuals, because my interests basically lie in this other thing. But
like, if everything could be perennial, I would absolutely love perennials, because it's always starting annuals, maintaining them, doing that whole thing. I try to grow as much perennial stuff as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Pete saying, hey, Billy, I need to learn to prune. Okay. I'm going to be covering some of that, and I'm going to probably, hopefully, give y'all some kind of discount. One of my teachers in this space, y'all, I didn't just go up to Canada to go visit. I mean, he's honestly a teacher of mine, Stefan Subkoviak, one of the best in the world. Before him, pruning was so incredibly difficult for me because there was not a systematic approach to it, until he made me aware of all the things that he learned in France, working with the best. And in my world, he is the best. And he came up with a systematic way of doing this. And it's called the LBL method. And there's a little bit more to it than this. But basically, the first L stands for low branches, okay? So anything basically, depending on your setting, maybe below 42 inches, you're going to prune. The B stands for big. So if you got a trunk going up, anything that's attached to the trunk of that tree that is 50% or greater, you're going to cut it off. Okay. So anything big. And the other L stands for line or lane. So anything that's in line or lane, you're going to get rid of it. Generally, you're going to leave about 12 to 14 branches on the tree. If you decide to train it, that's fine. And remember, you want a tree, you want a fruit tree, not a tree tree. So there's all these other little things, that systematic approach in pruning, that now it doesn't apply for every tree out there. You're not going to prune a pear that way. I mean, not a pear, but a peach. They're going to be, obviously, you're not going to prune a fig that way. There's going to be exceptions to the rules. But generally, yeah, I'm going to do hopefully more pruning classes, or direct you better still to learn directly from the guy I learned from. And of course, he is a master at that and so many other things. What else you got, Michelle?
Double A has a question. Should we use existing house ground rod or plant a new one? If so, how far away from the existing rod?
Okay. Sorry, y'all. Sorry for the dramatic pause. I had to get a drink. You can use the existing rod. Now, people have made claims saying, hey, they put a Gauss meter on it and it pegged off the chart when they put the meter on it. Basically, they're saying that they're reading the induction coming from the panel, okay? Well, I've examined it with some of the instruments I have, and it's not that bad. In fact, I would almost say, unless unless I find something different, I'm going to say it's almost negligible. I mean, negligible, the amount of induction that you're getting off of there. There's a thing, like I said, called the right-hand rule. Maybe I can cover that in another, as far as how electricity flows in the AC system. So anyway, it is negligible so far. So, but if you want, that's what I did, and that's what I taught on Patreon, is basically I ran another ground rod just to be 100% sure. And I'm going to do comparisons to find out which one works better. I mean, there's still some work to do. I'm just giving you my preliminary findings so far in this show. But I'm going to test this thing till the cows come home to get everybody as healthy, and myself and my family included as well. But honestly, you can't beat running a separate ground rod. And one of my early videos was how to drive that ground rod with nothing more than a cup of water. And you don't have to pound it. Now, if you're going to put a real deal electric charge on it, yeah, you might want to do that. In fact, you don't need an 8-foot ground rod or a 10-foot. I put an 8-footer out there and I drove it all 8 feet with nothing more than a cup of water. Maybe I'll have to show you all that video again, but it doesn't have to be backbreaking in most cases. But yeah, you can run another ground and it's probably, it's going to be better, no doubt about it. But is the effort of doing it worth it? To me, yeah, but I'm already a journeyman electrician. If you have an older house, if you use your copper pipes in there, that is perfect. You can't beat that. Excellent ground, especially if it's going to make sure it's leaving the house underground. It's copper, but that's a way of doing it too. In some of the older houses, pretty hard to beat. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You can go that way if you want. What else you got? All right, y'all. Hey, thank you. We've gone, sorry to run so long, almost an hour and a half. But, hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully this stuff was a blessing to you. We're going to do more videos and not just give you the problem, but talk about some legitimate solutions, y'all. Till next time, thank you so much. Stay alert.
Stay alive.
They don't want an individual just to carve a copy. You sitting at Manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior.